the champion for us. You picked a great day to come. In fact, you're going to get a promotion today just on your first Sunday. Because you heard Pastor Stephen mention earlier, it's Promotion Sunday at Champion Forest, which means for our preschool children and students, they promote to the next grade level of life group that's connecting to their starting of a new school year. And we're going to pray for our students. We know we have many teachers and administrators and those who work in our various school districts who will be going back to school, going back to work, going back on mission starting this week and next week. So we want to pray for you toward the end of the service. But we want you to know you're about to step into your mission field, and we are so excited that you're going, and we hope you have a great, amazing, and wonderful year. As we get ready for Promotion Sunday, I want to remind you of how important the connections that we make are to wherever and whenever we go, wherever we're going. Those connections we mentioned last week involve connecting to God, which is our first and most important, greatest connection that any of us can make. It is absolutely critical to know God. You were created to know God. You were created for God and for His pleasure. And you were created to know and to be known by your Maker, by your Creator. At the end of this service, in fact, if you don't have the assurance of knowing Him, and I don't mean knowing about Him in the religious sense or the academic sense, I mean knowing Him personally, today I'm going to invite you to come into a relationship with your Creator, with God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, who makes that reconciliation possible. Because while we were created to know God and live life in fellowship or friendship with God, sin separates us. So we've got to have something happen, something to solve that sin problem, and Jesus is the someone who solves our sin problem. So today I want to invite you to come into that relationship. We said last week as well that it's really important to connect to not only your Creator, but to His church, to His body, to His family. Because when you are born again in Christ, you are born into a family. And it's a family of God. And the church is so important to doing life and following Jesus and feeling like you're part of something bigger than just we ourselves can be on our own. In fact, today, I want to tell you, we had our membership class last Sunday. We had over 80 people get up out of the service, go back, and go through our membership orientation class just last Sunday. It was an amazing day, and we welcome all of our new members, including one sweet lady who said, "I've been attending Champion Forest for more than 50 years. I think I'm ready to become a member." And we said, "Now hold on, are you sure? Take your time." But we are so grateful for her and her testimony and yours as well, as people are connecting to the body of Christ. But there's one more connection we've mentioned, and that is that we need to connect at a little bit deeper level with some good Christian friends, with a group of folks, not just a crowd of folks, but to a group of folks, where we can know and be known in a relational sense as a part of the church, where we can go a little bit deeper and build those critical relationships to life and to following Jesus. And our strategy for that is life groups, LG. Now, if you're from a different church or background, maybe you've heard the term Sunday school. That's the same thing. We won't be mad at you if you say Sunday school. But life groups is a little bit broader, bigger category for all ages, and it means more than just what happens on Sunday morning. In fact, it sort of propels us by definition to do life together as a part of a group of those who are connecting to each other here at the church in our life groups. Many of you registered this week or called or got connected, and you're headed to a life group today for your first time. But others of us, today will be the day we say, and I'm just speaking faith over you, brothers and sisters, today's going to be the day you say, "You know what? We should probably check out one of those things he just keeps on and on and on and on and on about. Maybe he'll move on if we get connected." Maybe. But you got to get connected. And today I want to build the case a little bit, if you'll allow me, to connecting. And to connecting to not only God through His Son Jesus, the church, the body of Christ, and a smaller group of folks who are doing life together called a life group. If you have a Bible, you'll find the text in Acts chapter 2. It's where we were last week, but we saved a good bit of last week's text for this week's message. And I want to share it with you from Acts chapter 2. I'll be reading beginning in verse 42. "And they being the early church..." By the way, this is so early. They had 120 in the upper room. 3,000 were saved on that first big day, the day of Pentecost. So this is a growing, thriving, large church already. And we can see what they're giving themselves to in the earliest days and stages of the life of the church. And what they do, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe or fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So they devoted themselves. That's a really important word, that devoted word. It means to stick with something or to persist in something or to stay by something. And in the context, it really tells us that it's an intense effort. It's not casual, it's not complacent, it's not occasional. This is a focus of theirs. This is something they were devoted to. And in fact, we could go a little further in the word, and especially in the context, with the possible implication that this is to stick with something and to stay by something and to continue in something despite difficulty. And sometimes we overlook the fact that it couldn't have been easy to be a part of this group of believers following Jesus, who, by the way, had just been hung on a cross, either for blasphemy in claiming to be God or rebellion and sedition claiming to be a king. But let me just tell you, within a couple of months of some man's death, thousands of people don't just go out in the streets and start identifying with that man, especially in recognition that they are now pronouncing themselves to be no longer a part of the club on the Jewish side of the conversation because he was a blasphemer. No longer a part of the Gentile or the Roman world because he claimed to be king and was accused of raising a rebellion. What I'm saying to you is suddenly these people, now 3,120 or so, have separated themselves from either community and really need now, because of the intense difficulty of that decision, someone else to connect to. And this word devoted means that they devoted themselves with intense commitment in spite of the difficulty. Let me just suggest to you, it couldn't have been easy, so it must have been worth it. Let me say that again. It couldn't have been easy to identify with Christ and to connect with these others who were identifying Christ. It couldn't have been easy. It wouldn't have been easy. So it must have been worth it. I want to talk to you about your devotion and our devotion and my devotion. And it's not a strange concept or topic. We know devotion. We know what it is to be devoted. We're devoted to a certain form of music or entertainment or stars. We're devoted to a certain ball team. Football team that is playing football in the next few weeks, and we're devoted. See, it's some, you know, in a Texas Baptist crowd, all you have to say to wake people up is football. And somebody back there whoops and hollers, and everybody else goes, what happened? What happened? Church over? What happened? That's when your wife elbows you and says, yeah, the pastor called on you to pray, and you stand up and start praying. Don't go to sleep in here. You don't do that. Did you see last week? Now, I know they played last night, but the Texans played in Green Bay, Wisconsin last week. Now, I just want to mention to you, it's preseason. The stars aren't even on the field. It doesn't matter. It's like a glorified practice. And yet, there's this crowd of people, and some of you may be here with us today, and God bless you. I'm using you as an example of devotion, because a good number of people went to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Wisconsin. You know where that is? Wisconsin. And attended this football game to cheer for their Texans. Why? Because they're devoted to their team. And these people are paying good money to travel a great distance to stay in a hotel a night or two nights or a weekend. And most of those players don't know those people's names. They're not going to be having lunch or dinner after the game. But you know, when they put the camera on them, they say things like this: JJ deserves it. You say, boy, you came a long way to support your Texans. Why'd you do that? Oh, because they deserve our loyalty and our devotion. We'll go anywhere. Look, I'm not criticizing that. I'm just wanting to know about the church and devotion and loyalty to the body of Christ. You know what I'm saying is, would you go to Wisconsin today for a worship service? Depends on who we're worshiping and where my seats are. I'm just kidding. You're getting the point, though, right? We know devotion. And you know what I think that is? I think that's a part of our makeup. It's in our DNA to give ourselves to something. It's like that initial connection with God. There's a yearning within all of us for something beyond us and bigger than us and outside of us. That's our yearning for God. I think God also put a yearning within us to feel strongly about something, to not only connect, but really put our soul and our heart and our passion in it. And it can be any number of things that we devote ourselves to. But as Christians, as Christ followers, don't we want to be sure that we are devoting ourselves to the right kinds of things and in the right kinds of ways and in the right kinds of, well, proportion? Because while I love college football and the NFL and baseball and all manner of sports, I want to be sure that my devotion for Christ puts every other appearance of devotion in its place. Does that make sense? And here, preacher's criticizing our football before his season even really gets going. No, I'm not. I'm challenging us to consider our own level of devotion. In fact, why don't we, for all of us who aren't promoting today to a new life group, let's change the name of this Sunday. Instead of Promotion Sunday, can we just call it Devotion Sunday? And let's just consider our devotion. And in light of the text, what were they devoted to? What did they devote themselves to? They devoted themselves to, and then we sort of have an unfolding list here. Let's identify a few. What was the focus of their devotion? Look at number one, going deeper into God's word and growing in their faith. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. We should figure out fairly quickly what that is. I mean, the apostles were those who were with Jesus, who heard what he said, saw what he did, understood what it meant. And then Jesus said in the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've said to you or taught you. So pass the faith along. That's what they're doing. So the apostles' teaching, the essence of the core, of course, is who Jesus is and what Jesus did and what it meant and what it means for the rest of our lives and for this world. Now, of course, they brought in the Old Testament scriptures, which Jesus said pointed to him. Of course, they talked about Moses, no doubt all of that. But they taught primarily, I'm sure, about Jesus. And in the context of the apostles' teaching, we now have that in written form. We call that the Gospels and the Word of God. So it was really important to them to be grounded and to go deeper. It wasn't a decision only, it was a decision to become a disciple. A disciple is a fully devoted follower of Christ. So they're not just skimming along the surface here. This is not easy believism. It wouldn't have been easy to believe then. It certainly wouldn't have been easy to follow. So this teaching of God's word, these apostles and their teaching were really meant to ground and to anchor these new believers, these new followers in the words of the actual teaching of Jesus and all that he had said and done and was calling them to do, to observe all things, as he said. And in that context, I want to remind you that at Champion Forest, these life groups aren't social gatherings, although we socialize. They're not to talk about current affairs or current events or share ideas and work. And all that sort of happens sometimes in the context of a smaller group of people. But let me tell you, at the basis, at the center of, at the foundation of every life group is the Word of God. The Bible is our textbook, if you will, for every group gathering at Champion Forest Baptist Church. We don't teach from Christianity Today, although you may read that magazine and enjoy it very much. It's not the context or the text of our teaching. We don't teach on pop this, or we don't teach on modern that. We take the Bible, we open it, and we say, here's what God's word says. And you say, well, you're doing that right now. Why do I need to go to a life group? Great question. You see, in this context, it's sort of the global big picture venue where we're a part of something bigger than ourselves and see ourselves as a part of the body of Christ. But we break this down to a smaller group and then to an even smaller group, we're able to engage in a little different way. For example, if you raise your hand in here right now, I'm going to assume you're worshiping the Lord. Yes, Jesus, amen, right? See, some of you are doing that just right now. It's just because if I do it, you do it. That's just how we're wired, right? But you're probably not raising your hand to ask a question because that would be, well, a bit out of the norm for a large group gathering like this. But when you're in a smaller group, you can actually interact with the lecture or the lesson. You can ask a question, or you might say, hey, you know, and not only that, I was thinking of this, or this happened to me, and you can add a word of testimony. You can talk about how this particular biblical truth applies in your particular context, at your age and stage of life, or in your work world, or at school. You can really get down to the very essence of God's word and how that applies to your life and how others are living it out every day. All around God's word, we get together in smaller groups so that we can go deeper in God's word. You see, if you look at this room right here, this is a large number of very diverse kinds of people. But the smaller those groups go, the closer it gets and the deeper we're able to go in God's Word. So I want to encourage you today to consider connecting to a life group so that you can go deeper and keep growing in your faith. See, we call these life groups the greenhouse of spiritual growth. Because what it says is I'm not just coming to hit or check the box. I'm coming to discover and learn, and that group helps me take that to a whole new level. I can assure you this, if you're ready to grow spiritually, if you want to go deeper in your faith, if you want to go deeper into God's Word, glad you're here, take one more step, and I promise you, you'll go just a little bit deeper. And the good news is this, you're already here. See, I'm not asking you to come on Wednesday at noon or Thursday night. I'm not asking you to figure out what to do, where to park, how to come, how do you dress, or what do you do with the children? No, you're here, they're here, we're all here. How many of your cars are already in the parking lot right now? Let me see your hands. Good. So you don't have to do that again. How many of you parked your car and already found your way in here? Raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Good. See, you're checking all the boxes. What that means is one more hour, either before this hour or after this hour, listen to me carefully, will change the trajectory of your spiritual growth. As you connect to others and go deeper in God's Word together, I promise you, you will grow in your faith and in your faith experience. They were devoted to it, to the Word of God and to going deeper and growing in their faith. Secondly, notice they were devoted to getting to know each other and doing life together. In fact, the scripture says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship. That's that word you may be familiar with, koinonia. It just means together or in common or common unity, community. It means they were getting to know each other. And there's 3,120 or so of them at this point. There's about to be another 5,000 come walking through the door. So it's really important while they connected to God and felt like they were a part of this body of Christ, they were getting to know each other in these smaller groups of people. And we see how they did that. Of course, they came and gathered together in the temple, but then we see them gathering together in their homes day by day. Well, we know there aren't very many homes in this context or now where 3,000 people could gather. So they must be breaking this large group of people down into smaller groups of people and gathering in each other's homes so that they can know and be known. We see that they're devoted to this experience of koinonia or togetherness. And we see the word bread. That's how we know this was a Baptist church. So they were committed to bread. Now, breaking of bread could mean and likely does mean in context the Lord's Supper, the gospel of the Lord Jesus and the Eucharist or the giving of thanks for all he had done for them and of what brought them together and binds them together as family. But we're also seeing they receive their food with gladness, generosity of heart. So there were some donuts involved, I'm telling you right now. There had to be some donuts involved because, one, they're meeting together in smaller groups and they're receiving their food with joy and gladness. What kind of food does that sound like to you? Manna. Donuts. Dough. Fried deep and covered and lathered in sugar sweet. That's why they were glad. I'm just kidding, but I'm sure they had donuts. And if you go to a life group at Champion Forest Baptist Church and your life group does not serve donuts, it may be your calling in life to bring the donuts. If your life group isn't joyous and joy-filled and generous and praising God, it may be the donuts are not there. So I'm making way too big of a point on this. But you see what's happening. They're getting to know each other, and they're doing life together. And see, we have this large group of people, and we have other venues and other locations, and that's great. You know you're a part of something as a part of the body of Christ that draws us all together. But the knowing each other, the knowing and being known, the getting to know each other, and doing life together doesn't happen in a crowd. It happens in the context of a smaller group. And regardless of the next size of group you attend, know that within that group, there's another smaller group waiting for you. Until we get that number down to where you can really invest in the life of someone else, know and be known, and build a friendship or relationship. Do you remember my pencils? Peter, do you remember our pencils last week? We are better together, and we are not good on our own. So getting to know each other and growing closer together is a key. That's what we ought to be devoting ourselves to. Let me point out a third. They were devoted to going deeper in God's Word, getting to know each other, and praying together and for each other. We see that. Now, the prayers, they were devoted to the teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And then verse 43 tells us there was this sense of spirituality, of the presence of God, of the power of the Holy Spirit in transformative ways. So what I mean by this, they were devoted to praying together and praying for each other, meaning that their relationships were not superficial, shallow relationships. They were spiritual relationships, which allows a greater depth of experience than just a casual, how you doing, good to see you, nice to see you. Who was that? You know what I mean? I mean, we come to church and we know how to be friendly. We should. We know how to greet one another. We know to say, how's it going? We're scared to death they might actually answer the question, except in the traditional expected fine mode. But what if you're building the kind of relationships that aren't shallow and superficial and that really take on some depth? You know what we discover is when you take that conversation from how's it going, how the Texans do, how are the Astros doing, what's the weather like, boy, it's hot today. When that conversation drops down to, so how's it going in that area that we've been thinking, talking, and praying about? Hey, I prayed for you this week. I thought about you this week, and I was wanting to tell you I've been praying for you. How's that going? Or how can I pray for you this week? That conversation drops to a whole new level of intimacy and friendship and relationship when you add the spiritual dynamic. And we see that in the early church, they were devoted to this experience of spirituality between them. They were praying for each other. And we need that, folks. We don't just need to come in here and wave and smile. And we're all dealing, like you heard on the stage here, we're all going through life, and life's sometimes messy, and sometimes it's troubling, and sometimes it's tragic. That's why it's so important to know people who know us and know what we're walking through and how they can support us and walk with us and pray for us in the context of those stormy days. We're all going to have them. And when we have them, we're going to need friends who get it and get us and will be there for us when we need them to be. We like the term 2 a.m. friend. You know what a 2 a.m. friend is? A 2 a.m. friend is someone that you can call at 2 in the morning and they'll answer. And not only when they answer, if you need something, they will say, I'll be right there. Or I'll get on it right now. Or I'll be there. Or I'll do this. Or if nothing else, I'm on my knees right now praying for you. Now, don't be thrown off by the time. It could be 2 a.m., it could be 2 p.m., but let me tell you, there's an hour of the day coming when we're going to need some good Christian friends to stand with us, to walk with us, to kneel with us, to cry with us, to rejoice with us. In this context of mutual spirituality and a devotion to Christ, those friends are unlike any other friends we have because they get us to the core, because the same Holy Spirit lives in them as lives in us. I tell you right now, we're all going to need sooner or later someone who goes before the throne of grace with us and for us. And I want to encourage you to make those friends and build those relationships in a group called a life group. Let me give you two more quick ones. Why and what were they devoted to? Well, they were devoted to experiencing the power of God. We see that here. We see that awe and fear, reverence came on every person. Meaning there was this sense of God's presence, and there was the obvious expression of God's power and working. And we see these signs and wonders and miracles that were being done. Now, we know this is the apostolic age, as it were, in the sense that the apostles were doing things in the power of the Holy Spirit to affirm and confirm their ministry calling and the presence of the Holy Spirit working in and through them. To say, this is the Holy Spirit, this is Jesus and His promise fulfilled. And these guys are continuing the ministry because they'd seen these works done by Jesus. Now, I don't have a sermon prepared for you to build a case of secession or whatever those words, I don't even know, that say, well, that stuff doesn't happen anymore. Because listen, I will affirm and absolutely 100% state God is still working, and God is still in the miracle working business, and His Holy Spirit is still working in people's hearts and lives, and yes, we are still seeing miracles today. It's not the same in the same way, but let me tell you something. When a sinner trusts in Jesus and is saved, that's a miracle of God's grace. In the last 2 weeks in your community ministry center that we just launched, the last 2 weeks, 81 people prayed to receive Jesus. You're going to hear a smaller number because we had to put it out on Thursday, but 81 people, listen to me. No, that's 81 people whose lives are going to be changed. And listen to this, forever. Those are 81 homes and families that are going to be impacted as the light of the gospel has been turned on in somebody's dark world. That is a huge thing, folks. Don't ever underestimate the miraculous power of God at work in someone's heart who says yes to Jesus. When you see a marriage that's broken, put back together and healed, that's the power of God. When you see lives change, when you see people give their heart to Jesus, when you see students say, I'm all in, that's the working of the Holy Spirit. And can I just tell you, I have the privilege as the pastor to see God work in so many wonderful, powerful, and very obvious ways. But let me tell you what you got to do to see it. You got to get closer. And when you get a little closer, you've got to look more closely to see where God is working in whose hearts and whose lives. We don't have the time or the screen power to tell everything that God is doing and to tell it in every way we want to. But I can tell you this, when you get to know each other and start doing life together in a spiritual context, you will see the work and the power of God in people's lives all around you. In life groups, testimonies, stories of life change abound. But if you just drop in and drop out and never go below the surface, you won't know that this is anything more than a bunch of people who have a good time on Sunday morning, sing some songs, and hear an inspiring message, right? Amen? Inspiring message. And go on like nothing else. That's all we need. Can I just tell you something? Listen to me carefully. If that's all this is, God help us for not turning off the lights and the air conditioning and just going home and forgetting about the whole thing. If this is just us, if this is just what we do, if this is just about us and for us, and there's no God factor here, there's no real spiritual power or the miracle of God at work here, what are we doing here? I'm sure you all and I can find something else to do on Sunday morning rather than waste our time. But let me tell you what's worth getting out of bed and coming down here for every Sunday morning. Let me tell you what's worth connecting in these groups. Let me tell you what's worth persisting and persevering and devoting ourselves to when God Almighty has committed himself and promised to be here with us when we gather together. Listen, friend, you do not want to miss a Sunday in the next 3 or 4 weeks when we talk about worship here. Because I think maybe if we aren't careful, we forget this is a God thing, and God is here. And His Holy Spirit is moving, and He is working. And we are here to encounter and to experience the living God of the universe, our Maker, our Creator, the faithful, loving, and gracious God, and His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, and the very presence of the power of His Spirit in us, flowing among us, and doing His work through us. This is a huge moment, y'all. This is a really big deal that we are devoting ourselves to. Even as the early church devoted itself to the experiencing of the very power of God in their midst, we want to see God work in each other's hearts and lives and see His miracle power flowing. And can I give you one more on this one and we'll wrap this up? They devoted themselves to, you'll see clearly, ministering to each other and meeting real needs. Ministering to each other. Meeting needs. It says they had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions, verse 45, and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they sold everything they had and moved out into the wilderness, into a commune. That's not what that's talking about. What it is saying, though, is if they had a provision and someone else had a need, they moved provision in the direction of need. That they were actually taking care of each other. The church was meeting the needs of the church and through the church to the community. That's what they were doing. Real needs were being met and real ministry was being done. Which is important because we use the word together in this context. It's a big word, but it means we're not alone. We're not on our own. We have help and we need it. And we're able to help when someone else needs it. That's where that ministry happens. And we see it here. They were sharing what they had to meet the needs that others had. And that's exactly what a church should do. How many of you think that's what churches ought to be doing? You know, in survey after survey, the unchurched world says, when asked the question, what should the church be doing? They say things like, they should minister. They should meet people's needs. They should help people. So you don't even have to be in a church to know what the church is supposed to be doing. Now, that's not all the church is supposed to be doing, but certainly that's what the church is supposed to be doing. And how many of you, by show of hands, agree that the church should be meeting the needs of people and doing real life ministry where there are real life needs. How many of you said that's what the church ought to be doing? Good. We have a majority. All right, let's go ahead and call that a vote. Done. We're all in the majority. Good. Now, you ready for this? Who's the church? I just think the church ought to be doing this. Knock yourself out. Well, I think if the church is going to do anything, this is what the church ought to do. Well, what you waiting for? Because listen, you're the church. I'm the church. We're the church. This is just where the church meets on Sunday morning. You're the church. And let me tell you where the ministry of this church works best. In spite of a great team of professionals with education, training, experience, and doing real ministry, our job is to train and equip the saints for the work of ministry, which means the real ministry of this church happens in the small groups of this church, Sunday in and Sunday out, and every day of the week. Ministry happens when people get to know each other and are able to share what they have with those who have need, or pray for those who need prayer support, or encourage those who need encouragement, or come along beside those who are feeling a sense of loneliness or hopelessness. It's when we get close enough to each other to recognize and to realize, hey, here's a need, or here's an opportunity, or I have a need, or I have a provision. Folks, let me tell you what that is. That's the church being the church. If ever we get a call and somebody's a little upset that they were in the hospital and no one came to see them, first, we apologize because we want to be there. We're in the hospital every single day of the week between pastoral staff and deacons. We cover every hospital every day of the week. If we know, we go. If we don't go, it's because we didn't know. If somebody has a need that's not met, we typically will say, well, whose life group are you in? And if they say, well, I'm not in a life group, then we say, oh, okay, that helps us understand. Because if you were in a life group, you wouldn't be calling us. Your life group leader would be calling us. And they'd be saying, hey, we've got a need. Help us figure out how to solve this problem. That's how the ministry works when it works best. In this church, we put a lot of stock and a lot of responsibility on the life group to minister and to be the church to those in the life group. Of course, there's a missional component and a community ministry piece, but can I just tell you, if we're not taking care of our own, if we're not meeting the needs of the people that are in those groups and in this church, we have skipped a really important base on our way to meeting needs. In fact, I think you're doing a marvelous job of ministering to one another and meeting needs. And there are so many different kinds of stories, but they all have one real point, is there's somebody there for us. There's somebody who knows us, who we know. There's somebody we're connected to. And not just when we need them, but when we're needed. Because if I ask this crew that you saw stand up, what was it like to stand in the gap and to have Tyler's back and to stand there with Anne-Marie, they would say, I bet you I know what they'd say. They'd say it was a blessing and a privilege and a joy, and we couldn't do enough. So it's mutual, you see. It's not just when we need. It's when we need to be needed, and we have the opportunity then to extend personal touch ministry and make a difference in someone's lives. I just want to tell you, as important as this is, don't drop out of worship. Come next week. We'll talk about that. As important as this is, that second hour is worth devoting yourself to. And I know it takes time. I know it takes effort. I know it takes energy. I know you're not going to get to the restaurant as fast as you thought you might. You might have to get out of bed a little bit early. I get it. But listen, if it's not easy, it must be worth it. If it's worth it, it's worth devoting yourself to it. So I want to urge us, encourage us this morning. What do we see as the fruit of their devotion? Joy, gladness, generosity, favor with all the people. And look, the Lord brought others along. And more people joined in. And that's because those groups, when they're healthy and working like they're supposed to be, they're contagious and people want to be a part. So we keep the door open and we've always got the welcome mat out. The light's always on and you're always welcome, including today. So here's what I want to invite you to do. We have a number on the screen that you can text to if you'd like to have a conversation and get some information. Now, I won't reply to you today on the text, but it'll have the conversation for you during the week so that next Sunday you can be prepared. But if today's an opportunity for you, and it is, out these doors or these doors in this atrium, we've got some of our adult life staff and some of our volunteers and some of our leaders standing there ready and waiting to talk with you. They'll ask you a few quick questions about your interest or where you are, what you're up to, and then they'll walk you personally to a life group, introduce you, and help you get connected and get started. And I'm even told there's a Red Top Bakery cookie waiting for you if you let them take you to a life group. Why? Because they receive their food with joy and gladness of heart. Amen. So we want to make it a sweet experience for you to join a life group today. Just outside here on the left, And we want you to have that experience today of getting connected. The number to text to is on the screen. And just outside this door, you'll find somebody to connect to. One more thing. As I mentioned to you at the beginning, if you're not connected to God, then let's start there. And just to my right and your left is a friendship room, and we have prayer partners on this side that'd love to talk with you about what it means to turn your heart and life over to Jesus and to come to Christ in faith and be a part of the family, the body of Christ. And then we'll get you in a smaller group so that you can connect and know and be known.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.